I am touching a snake, and I am not afraid. Our world is toxic, and we're experiencing the side effects. Fake news, social media, influencers, conspiracy theories, cancel culture. There is a cure that leads to freedom, and that's what we're going to explore today.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
I'm Hannah.
And welcome to Crossroads. You're joining us for the first week of a brand new series called The Cure.
Yes, and this is an important series because it's no secret that our world is overwhelming, tiring, sometimes exhausting, and borderline toxic.
It is. In just a minute, you're going to hear from our senior pastor, Brian Tome, who's going to talk about how we can address those toxins, what to do about them.
Yeah, and how to move forward. But first, honestly, he's on the journey for the cure. We're on the journey to find the cure for those toxins. That's what Kyle and I are here for. That's why we're dressed like this. That's why we're ready to go.
And we're not going to look in the typical places where everybody else looks.
Right.
We're going to look in the places that no one's looking at all to find the answers.
Got to go above and beyond. We might even win some prizes, some awards. This is how serious this is. So, Kyle, where do we start today?
We're going to start in a place that I think is one of the most overlooked places for the cure in the world.
Okay.
It's bird watching. So just
okay.
I've got binoculars. I packed some in the bag there for you.
Oh, nice. Thanks,
Dude. To get these things out. And you're going to look up in the trees and anything that
Kyle,
looks...
Kyle, there's none in here.
There's a hole in the bottom. I don't know.
Whatever. It's fine.
You've got great eyesight, though. Mm-hmm. Just look in the trees.
Okay.
We're going to find the bird. It looks secure. Tell me first.
Okay.
Ready? Just look up in there.
See. Do you know what it looks like?
Something.
There.
Oh, wait. You stay there. I'll get it first. Just because I just want to get it first. Okay, right? I'm going to need a boost from you if you could just. I'm almost there. I was almost there. Okay. You got
That's
it.
Fine.
It's fine. So what do you got?
Okay. We've got, I don't know, what are we looking at?
Oh, boy. Oh, self-help books. Yes,
right.
This is the answer. This is where everybody looks.
So is this the cure? Like, have we found it? Is this it?
Yeah, definitely. The birds probably left it for us up there.
This feels, like, not right. Like, maybe there's more. If it was this easy and self-helpy, wouldn't everybody do it and wouldn't it work and we would not be on this journey?
Right. We probably wouldn't need all these books. It'd probably just be, like, one book.
One book. Okay.
Right.
Maybe Brian Tome knows the answer.
Yeah, so check in with him.
Yeah.
Deep in the South African wild, the black mamba snake is one of the deadliest in the world. The snake's fangs act like a hypodermic needle, injecting venom quickly and efficiently. It only takes 2 drops of venom to spread toxic poison throughout the bloodstream. Luckily, if you act quickly, there is a cure and you can survive. First, a tourniquet is used to stop the spread of the poison through the body. Next, oxygen and respiratory support is given because the heart and lungs are weakened from the spread of toxins. Finally, the antidote to the venom is injected directly into the bloodstream to neutralize and eventually overcome the poison that is being spread. Now, while few of us will actually ever encounter a black mamba, maybe even more dangerous are the toxins we encounter every day. Navigating our current reality can feel like a dangerous and terrifying jungle full of snakes ready to bite. And just like a snake's venom travels through our bodies and attacks our organs, the poisons of racial injustice and polarizing politics that assault us in our news feeds and social media accounts can quickly spread through our minds and hearts to damage and shut down our healthy thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and actions. The good news is that while deadly, there is actually a cure to everything toxic in our lives. An antidote within our reach that will restore health and vibrancy to our minds and hearts. Just like treating a deadly mamba bite, we can cut off the poison of polarization that is penetrating our souls by turning away from sin and towards the cure of forgiveness. When our bodies and souls are shutting down under the stress of daily life, we can fill our lungs with life-sustaining support from the Bible, the Word of God. And when it feels like our broken hearts will never heal and there is no hope, we can inject ourselves with the truth of God, the antidote that will neutralize the poison affecting our entire world.
Have you noticed how toxic our culture is? I mean, we are so unhealthy and the problems just keep magnifying and multiplying. We're gonna help you understand that today. And when you understand it, you can actually get to a better place. I'm here inside of a zoo/nature center/greenhouse. And it's indicative of the thing we're talking about, which are the toxins that are in our culture. And sometimes the physical actually mirrors and can tell us something about the spiritual. One of the toxins I've had in my body, or the problems I've had in my body, is a bad back. For most of my life, about once or twice a year, I'm going through my life, doing my thing, and all of a sudden my back muscles, my lower back muscles just go, they tense up, and I go, ah! And I, bam, I fall down face first on the ground. I've been known to be curled up in a fetal position, one time naked on the floor of an athletic gymnasium locker room. It was very humiliating, awful. You've never lived until you've had to have a grown man help you put on your own underwear. Difficult, tough stuff. And I would live in fear of this problem, this toxicity in my back, because I didn't know what was going on. Then finally, I started learning what was going on. I learned that my muscles of my core were undeveloped. I learned that I had a vertebrae that was out of alignment. I heard about what chiropractors like to know as subluxation. And through a friend of mine who's a chiropractor, Paul Baker, I got on a completely different path. It's now been years since I've had a massive back issue. It used to be once or twice a year, I'd be down and out and I'd be in bed and I couldn't even roll over in bed. I started to understand the problem. When I understood the problem, I could fix it. And even if I couldn't fix it, just knowing what the problem was helped me. We have toxins in our culture that we are exposed to that are creating massive problems, not just for our culture, but for us personally. How do you get exposed to toxins? Well, there's a number of different ways. You can ingest it. You can swallow it, food, drink, some other substance. You just take it into your body. Another way this happens is by contact. We touch something and we get those toxins, or inhalation. We get it through the air, which is why so many of us are using these lovely, beautiful things. All of these contaminants, these mites, these germs, these organisms, get into us and then we become toxic ourselves. There's a toxin that's in our culture, that's in our lives. And that toxin, we don't want to talk about it. We don't like to say the word. We don't understand the word. It's such a misused or unused word in our society that we have the hair on the back of our neck stand up when we hear it, because it sets us off. I'm gonna use it anyway because I want to help you. I want to help us to see it. And when you understand this thing, your life will change. Honestly, it will. Your perspective will change. You will be able to get to be healthy. It's not until you understand COVID that you can understand how to be healthy. And it's not until you understand, here it is, sin, not a four-letter word, a three-letter word, sin. It's not until you understand the toxin of sin that's in the air, that's on the things that we do, that we ingest, that you can ever have an understanding of what our problem is and how to get to another side. That's what we're talking about for the rest of our time.
Here at Crossroads, we believe the church is about making a difference in the world.
Yes, and you can get in the game to support healthcare workers by handwriting notes of encouragement, as well as participating in a supply drive. That can happen via drive-through drop-off or an Amazon wishlist order. And we're doing this kind of stuff all the time, so we don't want you to miss out on an opportunity.
At Crossroads, we go. In every community right now, healthcare workers are feeling tired and forgotten, which is not okay.
Yeah.
So we're launching Fuel for the Fight, a way to refuel and refresh our healthcare professionals, and we need you.
To participate, you can visit crossroads.net/go to get in the game.
Another way to get in the game is to give. Have you ever heard the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? That's because our money really shows what we actually care about. Like a lot of mine goes to my kids, like a whole lot of it. That's because I really love them and it's worth it. Or so I'm told.
And you know what? In the same way, my relationship with God, it's a priority. And by giving, specifically tithing, which is the first 10% of my income, to the church, God puts my money to work and does things that I could not imagine on my own.
Explore why we do this, where the money goes, and how to give at crossroads.net/give.
Now we're going to keep looking for the cure.
Yeah, let's look at that.
So let's pick back up with Ryan.
I want you to find the cure for the toxic problems that you and I find ourselves in. And to do that, we're gonna have to go all the way back to patient zero, who had it first. We gotta go all the way back to the Bible's first book, the book of Genesis. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Here's what it says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." God creates this beautiful paradise, if you will, for them to live in and eat all the beautiful fruits and vegetations and have all kinds of freedom. He says, this is one thing. I don't want you eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why is that? What's going on there? It's hard to say what in Genesis is actual literal and what is metaphorical. And I don't want to get into all that right now, but why knowledge of good and evil? I think it's because you don't have to have any knowledge of evil because there is no sin. There's no evil at all. But as soon as you rebel and as soon as you're about yourself, you're going to open up a whole Pandora's box of problems. And the way this box gets opened up is there is a person with a personality who's known as the evil one or the devil or Satan. Ooh, boogly words. And he starts talking to Eve. And he comes in the form of, right here, a serpent. Yes, look, I am a man. I am touching a snake and I am not afraid. Actually, I am kind of afraid. I don't like snakes. I believe the only good snake is a dead snake. I'm sorry, it's just a metaphor. I've never actually even killed a snake. I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt you. I know you're a wonderful snake. I know you've never sinned at all. I know you're beautiful. Everything the Cincinnati Zoo is beautiful, but snakes just kind of, they just oogie me out. There's probably a lot of people like me, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go along and you go eat some field mice or something like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He's a sweetie. He is. Trying to put my man face on here, but it's tough. It's nonetheless very, very tough. But that serpent gave Adam and Eve the options that they hadn't considered, which is rebel against God, do what you want to do. And this opens up toxins that's unleashed in our culture. Back in the days when people were homesteaders or out in the prairies, when you had a problem in your life, you had the problem. You had to find the cure. You had to look inside. You couldn't blame the government that the water wasn't coming in right. You couldn't blame community council. You couldn't blame people on the right or on the left because you're there in the middle of nowhere, homesteading, farming, whatever it was, and your problems were yours. Well, now today, with social media blowing up, we have all kinds of people we can blame on. Well, it's the right, it's the left, it's the this person, it's the that person, it's these, and everyone is a victim. No one ever actually looks internal when bad stuff happens. And yet bad stuff is happening. And actually, it has to happen. I'm a big movie guy. I like watching movies. But the hardest part of any movie for me is the very beginning. Because at the beginning is when the bad stuff happens. It's when the tension takes place. It's when the murder takes place. It's when the divorce happens. It's when the sexual assault happens. And you almost want to turn away sometimes. You go, oh, I don't want to watch that. But you realize this is where the tension is. All the story hangs on that tension. The beginning of the Bible, we have the tension that's coming out of sin. Sin is the default. Sin is the default mode in which we operate, which causes us to blame people on this side, blame people on that side, and not see that I have a sin problem. Where I live is a sin problem. And until you understand this, until you get this, you can't get forward in your life because you are clueless. I'm a bit of a history buff. And in World War II, which was an unbelievable moment in world history, two characters that I think are relevant for us today are one, Neville Chamberlain. He was the ambassador to Germany for England, and he just refused to see the sin in Germany. He refused to see the sin in Hitler. He just kept thinking that things will get okay. We're mis- interpreting, we're misunderstanding, things can't be that bad. We don't have to actually fight here. We don't actually have to exert ourselves. It's gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay. And of course, it wasn't okay, and he's a historical laughingstock because he was dumb, he was deluded. He didn't understand that sin is present. Another key figure was FDR. Obviously, on the other side of the perspective, a hero in World War II, but in the beginning, he struggled to understand it. This comes out in his memoirs and some of the other things that he's written and people have written about him, that at the beginning of World War II, when the atrocities were coming out, long before he spearheaded America getting in, he didn't understand this. How in the world does this happen? He was a liberal humanitarian, meaning he believed that human beings were endlessly evolve and be better and nicer, and everything was going to take care of itself. And yet all that he saw in Germany was blowing that up. He couldn't get it. Finally, somebody turned him on to the works of Soren Kierkegaard, a famous Lutheran pastor, who helped him understand the presence and the pervading influence of sin, that helped him to get in touch with reality, that helped him to spear his leadership to get America going to a different place. You and I have fallen in a pit and we cannot get up. And it is our default mode. We are broken. I've got a collarbone right here that floats. If I had this jacket off, you could see it. It floats here because I had a motorcycle accident. It just pops up. So it floats. It also affects why I can't do many push-ups. Chuck Mingo recently beat me in a push-up contest. It's only because of this thing right here. I would beat him into applesauce if I didn't have this. Anyway, this thing, and it's helpful when I take a look at what's the word I'm looking for? The x-rays. And I see that thing float. I go, oh, that's right, I'm broken. And knowing that my default condition is brokenness actually helps me. Your default condition, when you understand your default condition is sinfulness, it actually will help you. Facts are your friends. Embrace them. They're real. I bought a hunting backpack recently, which is a bit of a different thing. You put all of your stuff in normal backpacks, but then the whole backpack itself unclips and falls away from the frame. And the frame, you can pack all the meat of the animal that you've just killed. And I had this backpack and I went on, I'm doing these training hikes. I'm going to Idaho to hunt an elk again. Hopefully I can see one and have some meat in the freezer. But I noticed I was hiking, this shoulder was really bothering me. All the weight was on this. And I realized, oh, I understand the problem. I know the problem that helps me solve it. So I adjust my straps. I can't remember if I made this one lower, higher, this one lower, but I adjusted them and evened out my weight. When you know that you have a problem and that it is sin, it helps you to get your life going back in the right direction. Cornelius Plantinga, in a book entitled The Way Things Ought to Be or Not the Way Things Should Be, something like that, he says this. He says, human beings have a biblically certified and empirically demonstrable bias toward evil. We are both complicitous and molested by the evil of our race. We both discover evil and invent it. We both ratify it and extend it. And we do this because it is our default mode. But the problem is sin has infected our minds, our hearts, our attitudes, our actions, our filtering mechanism to the point where it's deceptive. Sin is deceptive. We don't even see it in ourselves. We maybe see it in other people, but we can't see it in ourselves. Refuse to see that we are toxic, that we are part of the problem, that we are infected and affected by it. In James 3:16, it says that, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Why do we have such disorder in our culture and our lives? Because we have selfishness and we can't even see it. We have selfish ambition. We're driven to do things that we shouldn't be wanting to do and have things that we shouldn't be wanting to have. And it causes us to not honor God, and we can't even see it because we're deluding ourselves. It's somebody else the problem. No, I'm the problem. The sin in me is the problem. I'm trying not to define all the isolated mistakes, and I'm really not wanting to make this an individual thou shalt not talk. I'm not trying to run through things and say, feel really bad that you do this. I'm not trying to say, and here's the sin that preachers love preaching against. I'm not into that today. I'm just trying to help us understand the cosmic goop of sin that we've been born into and that courses through our veins. And some of us, even that, we get bothered by it because we think, oh, but that's why I don't like the Bible. What? Why would I have to be held accountable for Adam and Eve and what they did? If I've inherited this, why does their stuff affect me? Hey, sometimes it's just not about you. I know you think it's all about you. It's not all about you. Sometimes there's just spiritual realities we have to wrestle with and embrace. Adam and Eve did things that you and I would have done anyway. If we were in their place, we would have done it anyway. And those things are in the atmosphere. They're in the ecosystem. I'm in a physical ecosystem right now, but they're in the spiritual ecosystem that we live in. And in that ecosystem, unlike this ecosystem that's very, very healthy, and it's dripping with condensation because it's really beautiful, we live in a spiritual ecosystem that is destructive because sin is destructive. It destroys us, and it is destroying us. That's why we're doing this series, and that's why we need to see the spiritual truth. It's not by accident that everything is coming apart. It's because that's the way things function when we keep listening to the serpent. God gives words to the serpent. He gives words to the serpent, he gives words to the woman, he gives words to the man. After this sin is unleashed inside of the environment of the earth, and I want us to see what he says to him. First, he says to the serpent, who is Satan, he says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God seems to indicate here, the Bible seems to indicate that the reason why some of us are freaked out by snakes is that there is a natural enmity we have towards us and that creature. And that creature, or that evil, if you will, keeps trying to come up and snap at us and bruise us. But eventually, there is going to be a person who comes out of Eve's DNA, and his name is Jesus, who's going to actually crush the head of evil. Going to crush it. And he declares this is what God does. And in these things, he's explaining to us how sin has affected our world and then how God is going to he steps back some of his protections in the world that are there, and he allows sin to have more reign that's in the world. So he says to the woman, he says, I will multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So the reason why we have pain in our world is because of sin has brought pain. And specifically, pain wasn't always supposed to be present in childbirth. And we have painful childbirths now because it reminds us of the effect of sin. And we have male-female like relationships all the time that are at tension with one another. And God says this is part of the curse of the sin that's come into the world. And then to Adam, he says, in pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We have funerals where we say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It comes from this part of the Bible, reminding us that we will all eventually die, but we weren't created to die. We were created to live forever. But death is a curse as a result of sin that's here on this, in this ecosystem right now. And there's also a curse of fruitless labor. When we labor in the field, we have thorns and thistles and weeds that pop up in our beds, in our gardening beds that we're trying to do. We have little bacteria that come and eat at our tomatoes, causing fruitless labor. If we call on somebody in sales, we don't get the sale when we should have gotten the sale because something weird happened, because some thorn in the corporate system popped up and kept us from having the sale. This is called fruitless labor. Labor isn't the curse. Fruitless labor is the curse. And we see all hell, literally breaks earth. All hell
literally breaks loose on earth and in culture, and it's still breaking forth right now. Adam and Eve go from having wonderful communication, wonderful intimacy, to broken communication and broken community and lack of intimacy. They start covering themselves up with leaves because they have a sense of shame over one another. Their next generation, their offspring, one offspring kills another. We're still living in the stew that was created for us way back when, and we're actually adding to it. We're actually putting more sin in the longer we refuse to see this and respond accordingly. We don't even know what we want. We don't understand spiritual reality. Consumers don't always know what they want. If you want to make a lot of money, here's how you do it in business. You don't give somebody what they want. You give somebody what you know that they need, but they don't even know that they want. That's what history tells us as far as invention and making a lot of money. Nobody wanted a smartphone. If you go back, and I'm old enough to remember this, when the whole smartphone thing started coming out, people said, we've learned this lesson. When it comes to technology, there needs to be single-use devices. The more you try to have a device do, the less effective it's going to be. And what do you know? Steve Jobs and Apple figured it out. We realized, oh, of course I want that. Of course I want to know instantaneously what the weather is in Hong Kong. Of course I do. Oh, of course I want a calculator and my newspapers and to be able to text and emails and phone calls. And of course I do. No one thought they did, but we do. When the iPad came out, which I'm using right now. You see, my sin makes me not wanting to tell you this little secret, but there's this really funky little prompter monitor that has an iPad that's throwing up a mirror image that I can actually read my script and actually look directly at you. And you don't think I'm even doing it. You think I'm really smart and I'm really well thought out. No, I'm not really. I just took a lot of notes, and you can't tell I'm looking at the notes or not because I'm looking at the iPad that's right in front of the camera lens. But I remember when the iPad came out, people were going, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. People called it the iFad. Here it is. What do we need some bigger version of this for? The iFad. Until many of us started using it, we're like, oh, this thing is freaking awesome. It's awesome. Steve Jobs knew what we wanted and needed before we knew what we wanted and needed. Somebody in authority, somebody in vision had to see it. God, as the ultimate authority, God with the vision, has seen what we need. He's seen our sin problem, even if we're not willing to see it. That's what his vision is, and we're trying to get that vision inside of all of us. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 29 and following, it says that they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Man, if you want to be approved in our culture of toxicity, just be sinful and watch how people approve of you. Just say the most libelous things on Twitter you possibly can and see how many people applaud you. Just be as indignant as possible and just see how open-minded you are and not allowing your kids to have any rules and boundaries and never disciplining your kids and actually chuckling when your kids are disobedient. And just watch how people approve of you. Just watch how it is the people who are greedy and consume only about themselves and think only about themselves, how they're constantly defending, oh, you deserve it. Oh, yeah, you should. Oh, good for you. You should buy another car on more credit, even though you're in deep debt right now. Good for you. Because that's what our culture does. We applaud sin. We applaud it. And we applaud people who applaud sin and encourage it. Now, despite all I've said, there's good news here. Because, you know, well, I've tried to set the stage for all this stuff being wrong, all this stuff actually killing us, and it is killing us. It is. You can deny this. You can't deny that it is killing us. It's killing our culture. It's killing you. It's killing your relationships. It's killing your levity, your lightness, your joy.
When we refuse to be forgiving and we're bitter, when we refuse to understand and we're judgmental, when we're refusing to put any guardrails around ourselves and say no to ourselves ever, when we refuse to do that, we get hurt. Good news is there is a cure. And over the coming weeks, we're going to speak directly to some of the most damaging results of the fall, the toxic things that are around us, things like shame, things like fear. And we're gonna see that the umbrella cure for all of this is another word we don't like. We don't like the word sin. I don't care if you like COVID or not. You gotta wrestle with it. It is here and it is real. And we don't like sin. We gotta wrestle with it. It is here, it is real. And another word we don't like at all is the word that is the cure. It's the word repentance. It's a word that means I'm going this way. I'm going the way that everyone else is going. I'm going the way of sin. I'm going the way of approving of those who practice such things. I'm going the way of me being the center of my universe. I'm going the way of getting mine and judging people who are not letting. I'm going that way. And what we do is repent. We go, it's a turn. It's a turn. It's a change of direction. I change my mindset and I change my body and I go in a different direction. The cure includes turning from the toxicity and going a different direction while God sends me a savior, something I didn't know that I needed, something I didn't know that I wanted, who isn't a fad. He's a savior out of Mary's DNA and Eve's DNA, who crushes the head of the evil one, who crushes him in an astonishing way that no one saw coming. He crushed him by stretching out his arms on a cross and taking the pain of the toxicity on his back, on his shoulders, and loving us and laying down his life for us so that we could have the opportunity to repent. Friends, there's going to be a lot in this series that are going to be very hard for you to listen to. There's going to be a lot of things that are complicated that's going to be hard for you to stay focused on. And that's part of the problem in our culture. We've dumbed and numbed ourselves down to not be able to follow a line of reasoning, to not be able to follow truth, to not be able to do the hard work of understanding the toxicity in our culture. And this is it, and it is real. And if you get it and you turn from it, I'm telling you, your life is going to be different. I want that from you, and you want that for you. Let me pray for you right now. God, I thank you for being clear and giving us things in your scriptures that are so clear. I know all of us have something to turn from because all of us have these toxins in us and around us and we don't want them. We ask your forgiveness for falling prey to them. Jesus, we want to ask you to come in and help us. We give our life to you. We ask your forgiveness. We ask you fill us with your spirit and with your grace. We want you and your ways in the beauty, the transcendency, and the purity that follows. Amen. You know, once our mind engages on this, it's really good to engage our heart on it before we engage our limbs when you're done with this broadcast. So we're going to engage our heart with this by singing together and worshiping together. Let's do that right now.
Is greater, you light our way, God, you light our way. comes. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I hope you've gotten something that's going to impact your life. Don't miss next week when Allie's going to talk to us about the cure for shame.